Okay, Baruch Hashem. We're not trying to have 3 more seconds. Baruch Hashem, we hope to finish the pairing today as we get to the Siyam HaMasech to Siyam HaMas. Baruch Hashem. I have no idea. We still have 16 and a half blot. And a Kippurim, right? Dr. Mishnah. Mitzvah Chalitza. This is the way Mitzvah Chalitza should do. Him and Yivam come to Bezin. And Bezin gives him the proper advice. Meaning, if he might be not compatible with the lady, she might be 22 and he might be 85. Not a good idea that they should get married. Or he might be 22 and she might be 85. Either way, it should have doesn't work that well with that discrepancy in age. And therefore, Bezin gives him what's appropriate to him. Rashi, Eitzah Hagenis, like Klach Eitzah Shekavayzcha, stick to the one who's next to you, V'altachnis K'chatu L'teich Beisecha, and don't put fights into your household. Shenemar, V'kara Leizik Ne'irai V'dibru Eilof, and they speak to him. They figure out, and then we advise them what to do. Now some Rishaitim say, that after he can be given advice not to do Yibum, and he wants to do Yibum, we will force him to do Chalitza. Other Rishaitim say no. This is an advice thing. We're not forcing anybody. He has an option of doing Yibum, and we're not going to stand in his way if he wants to do it. We advise him that it's not a nice thing. It's not the proper thing to do for him. But that's up to him to make a decision. Now, this is talking in the days that they allow Yibum, preferably. We paskin the Kabbashol, at least the Ramah does. And therefore, we push Chalitza because we don't allow Yibum today. We think the person doesn't mean L'Shem Shemayim, and if he doesn't mean L'Shem Shemayim, he's playing around with fire, so therefore we don't allow for Yibum. V'yay Meres, and then she says to Bezin, Me'ein Yavami L'Hokim L'Ochim Shem B'Yisrael L'Yavay Abmi. My Yavama refuses to establish a name for his brother, meaning to continue his brother's legacy or life through marrying me. He doesn't want to be Me'Abmi. That's what she says. Now, the Mepharshim asks, if he wants to do Yibam, we're not letting him, how can she say that to her, that he doesn't want to do it? Bottom line is, he wants to do it, we're not letting him. The Mepharshim asked that question, and basically, the answer seems to be that at the bottom line is, at the end of the day, whether he wants to or doesn't want to, they're not letting him. So as far as she's concerned, he doesn't want to do it. Not wanting to do it, whether he doesn't want to do it because we told him he doesn't want to do it, or whether he doesn't want to do it on his own. The bottom line is he doesn't want to do it. Practically, he doesn't want to do it. Who I'm like a Fatsi Lakhta, and he says, I don't want to marry her. And we learn that from a pasuk that this is said in Lashon Kodesh. Then, she goes in front of him, in front of the Skadim, the Kholtan Alam Araglai, the Yorka Befanov. She takes his shoe off, and she spits in front of him. Roy kanira l'dayanim. And we learn that from the pasuk that the saliva has to be visible to the dayanim. And we're machmer that the saliva has to be visible from the moment it leaves her mouth to the moment it lands on the floor. The answer to Amra, and then she responds and says, "Kocha yasul ish ashul yivnas beisachiv." This is what happens to a man that doesn't build his brother's house. Atkan Hayamakrin. Until here, they used to make the meaning. Bezin used to say these words, and they used to respond and say those words. We learn now from the words of Ansa. Ansa's respond, which tells us that somebody is saying it first, and then they are responding. So Bezin says, say the words, Man Yavami Lahakima, and she responds and says exactly what Bezin tells her to say. And the same with Liyavi Yabmi, the same with everything. That's where they stopped. When he read the parches of Chalitza under the tree in Kvaritum, that's where he was sitting with his Tamidim. The Gomer is called a parsha. And he continued, and he read the words, V'nikra b'shmai b'yisrael b'yis chalut sanol. Now, so Huxikuli is Gomer called a parsha. So they finished the rest of the parsha, which is, period. That's what they did. Now, who says that rest in the parsha? The Nikrish might be Yisrael based Chalutanom. mitzvah betamid, the yanim b'lay mitzvah betamidim. The calling him beis chalutano is a mitzvah for the yanim, not for anybody else. If you name a mitzvah chalutim, sham name a chalutano. So my question is whether they say beis chalutano or chalutano, but they say it three times. Chalutano, chalutano, chalutano. Why do they say it three times? So some say it's to embarrass him that he doesn't want to do yibum. And again, even though today he has no option, but the structure is done the way it was done when he did have an option. Or it's because, some say it's because everything we do, like mutalach, 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 we have a custom of repeating things three times to show that it's, give it strength. So we say mutalach, 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 so we say chalutano, 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 just that, using the three times that we usually use. Rashi. Rashi. Loshin Hakodesh Hayomrim Psech Tisayt the Nafkulam Mikroy Beperik Elon Amar Mikvar Itam Tamidim Hayoshim Sham Lefnei Rabbim B'Shas Chalitza. There are Mepharshim that say, and again, I'm getting a little bit off my level when I say this, that the pasuk we learn out is Loshin Hakodesh. Why did they have to say it in Loshin Hakodesh? The Malachim, there are Malachim that are hanging around the Yavam to see that he keeps his mitzvah, because the neshama of the nifter is waiting to be corrected, to have its tikkun, to have its, to reach a finality, which can be done either through yibum or through chalitza. It has to happen in order for the benefit of the soul of the deceased. And the malachim are around this person, like waiting to jump on him for not doing his mitzvah. So malachim understand Hebrew, they don't understand another language. So therefore, we say it in Lashon Kodesh, so the Malachim should hear that this guy is doing what he has to do, and it's taken care of, and they should leave. Now, it's above my pay grade, because the Rabbanim Shlomo can call off his Malachim any time. They don't act on their own, so I'm not 100% sure what the underlying shot is, but I saw this shot, that by saying it in Lashon Kodesh, it's like telling the Malachim, he did what he was supposed to do, you can now leave him alone. He has finished, he has given, rest.
Closure.
Closure, that's the word I'm looking for. Closure for the neshama.
Why is by Rosh Chodesh, is him Kudosh only two times? Any special reason?
No. We learned up from Pasuk to say it two times, I don't know. Yes?
You may have mentioned this already. The permit to write a Zigna Ira Dabra. For those who hold that based in here could just be three Jews, how is this accomplished? I mean, there.
We don't do this today because there's no option of Yibum. But in the days that there was an option of Yibum, it was incumbent upon the Bezin of the city to advise him on what to do. Now, I don't know if that meant three people decided to call him in and advise him. They called him in, and the Bezin called him in and advised him that afterwards he could do chalitza with in front of any three people. Doesn't have to be the same Bezin that advised him that he does chalitza in front of.
It sounds like this is the same one that he's in front of.
Well, we're continuing with the procedure. What if he says, I'll think about it, I'm not ready to do yet? We're advising him.
1,000 years ago, before Yibum was discouraged, was there still an opinion that it could be just any three Jews?
Absolutely. But I don't think they did this part.
Well, how could they not discourage?
No, I don't think the three people did that. It was the Bezin of the city that advised them what they thought is proper. Now, as I mentioned before you came, it's many Rishayim hold, he can either accept their advice or reject their advice. They're telling him, listen, this is not going to work. This marriage is not going to work. Do chalitza. That's what they're getting involved in. He can say, thanks to your advice, I'm rejecting it. I want to do yibum. This is an advice. It's not. Some rishonim say that they can force him to listen to them, and that would have to be a bezin, an authorized bezin. It couldn't be any three people that decide to force him. No.
I was more caught up on, how could you have an opinion that could be any three if you have the actual respective base unit sitting there? Why wouldn't you just use them?
But that's because you're assuming it's being done as soon as they give him the advice.
Yes, because that's what it sounds like.
No, because the Mishnah is telling you two parts. They advise him, period.
Okay.
Now they're saying how the process is done if he does chalitza.
I guess I just assumed he was there.
He's there. I don't know if she's there.
They were there in the procedure with the process.
And after in front of a basin, did they give him advice? As opposed to just a slap basin in or...
Well, we learned out from the Karulai that they should be talking to him directly, but Dibru Velov. Not the Gemara Bait.
We do this if she wants it also?
Today, Bismarck said, if they both want Yibum, today, they don't have to come to Bethan day after. They can just do Yibum.
No, she said, I want this and... We know if that's going
to
work.
Meaning, what if both parties don't come to Bethan to ask? They just go do Yibum. What can we do? There's no obligation for them to go into Bethan for advice.
But if Bethan sees it, then you know what?
I don't know. You want to know, would Bethan get involved if none of the parties are asking them to get involved?
Right.
I don't know.
Because it has caused a big problem. You know, even though he's 80 and she's... 80.
See, the Pasuk says she goes to Bethan, and then Bethan calls them and advises them. But the Pasuk says she goes to Bethan.
Well,
right?
That's be a business.
Again, she goes to Bethan to ask them to intercede. Now, if she doesn't ask them to intercede, I don't know if it's Bethan's job to go around town to see... I don't think so. I think the mitzvah is only if she asks them to intercede, they will take their advice.
But can he be the... person who asked for intercession?
He doesn't have to.
It's the opposite way. He wants to do chalitza.
He can do whatever he wants. It's his decision. He can say, I'm not doing Yibum. She can't say, I'm not doing Yibum. He can force her to do Yibum. That's why she needs Bethan to act on her behalf. Nothing about Tamar Yehuda. Mitzvah Chalitza, the mitzvah of Chalitza is Kaira. She reads, and Rashi says, she says, Me'en Yivami, the Kaira, and he says, L'chafatzi l'kakta, I didn't want to marry her. The Chalitza, she removes his shoe, V'rekika, and she spits. The Kaira, and then she says, Kocha Yosulish, Ashla Yivna, is Beis Achav. That's the procedure. She says her part, he responds with his part. Chalitza and spinning are done, and then she says her part. End of ceremony. That's what the Mishnah said. What are you adding, Rabbi Yehuda? Follow the Mishnah. But the Gemara Kamashmulan mitzvah hachi. This is preferable. But the apech less lumba. But if the order is not done, it's fine. Meaning, you can do spinning before the Chalitza. The Kriya is not Ma'akev. This is the way it's proper. But doesn't mean that this is the only way it works.
Well, how about if you do chalitzas first? You do shoe first.
Works, for sure. Tanya Rami Haki, Ben Shehigdim Chalitza L'Ritika, Ben Shehigdim Ritika L'Chalitza Ma'asha Asasi.
Why is this? Rabbi, who's saying this? Rabbi, who's saying this? Mean that if you go in, isn't it reinforced that it has to be done in this way?
But so you're just saying that's not the halacha. It doesn't have to be done this way.
But he's saying
this is the preferable way. By using the word mitzvah chalitza, he's saying this is the preferable way it's done.
So same thing with Mishnah, same lashon.
Again, from the Mishnah, you wouldn't have understood it that way.
Only
I guess
order.
By the fact that he's repeating it like that, he's trying to tell you it's only preferable.
Why does the word mitzvah mean preferable?
It doesn't, necessarily. It could be either one of the two. But since he's repeating what it says in the Mishnah, we are explaining that that's what he's coming to say. Now, how do I know that? Maybe he's coming to say the opposite. I don't know.
We use the version Kate's out, like, how is it done? It would use that word.
I don't know. I don't know. Rashi, Kaira, Man Yavami, my Yavam refuses the Kaira, and he reads the Chavat the Lakhta, Chalatas, Varekika, the Kaira, Kachi, Yatul Ish.
You have to know what all this stuff means, right?
Yeah. I'm Rabbiya. Haiman the Makri, get Chalitza. Okay, now, as we said in the Mishnah, this is said by the Dayan, by one of the Dayanim. He says to her, say these words. And he says to him, say these words. It's what word am I looking for? Dictate is the wrong word, but he
uses dictate.
Dictate. It has to be dictated to her and him. Even though dictate, I don't think, I'm not going to argue in art school in English, but dictate usually means that somebody writes, but here he's speaking. So he dictates things. He has to be careful not to say it the wrong way. Because if she said, he says, say lie, and she says lie, and he says, say avayabmi, and she says avayabmi, so you can translate it lie. He doesn't want chalitza. Avayabmi, he wants to be miyabmi. The words have to indicate that he doesn't want ibum. If you break up the lie and the avayabmi, you're not getting that message across. So she has to be able to say, loy avayabmi, in one breath. So when the guy dictates, he has to make sure to say to her, say the words loy avayabmi together. Loy likri l'day, loy l'chudei by itself. Lo avayabmi l'chudei, the mashma avayabmi. That would mean he wants to do yivam. Ella loy avayabmi. But loy likri l'day, loy l'chudei, chafatzi l'chudei. He shouldn't say loy and then chafatzi l'kachta. The mashma chafatzi l'kachta. That would indicate he doesn't want to marry her. Ella loy chafatzi l'kachta. I don't want to marry her. Rashi. The mikri get chalitza. Now the Gemara doesn't use the word the mikri. Yeah, get chalitza, meaning the lashon of chalitza. Hamakri as isha b'shas chalitza. Rav Amar, Rav.
Hefdu in Hebrew, right?
Yes.
So if a guy can't pronounce a ches,
ches. I don't know what to tell you. Most Jews can pronounce ches. It's the non-Jews that have trouble with ches. But the Hungarian Jews can't pronounce ches. I know that as a fact. I grew up amongst a lot of Hungarian Jews. We used to always say that they say hey instead of ches. Hala. Hala hayim behesed.
Is that might be a problem?
I have no idea. I can't answer that question. I don't know. They can't pronounce class. They can't pronounce class. I don't know what happened. Slovenian Jews had trouble with shin and sin. But I never understood that because they had both sounds. They just used them the opposite way. They said sin when they were supposed to say shin and shin when they were supposed to say sin. That I never understood because if they can make both sounds, why are they saying the wrong sound by the wrong one? The Hungarian Jews couldn't say ches. They just couldn't say ches. It was challah. You ate challah. You never ate challah. I don't know.
Well, their rabbanim can't say it either, I guess, to a rabbanim.
What?
They're just repeating what the rabbanim also can't pronounce.
I don't know. I don't know. Rabbi Amar, Rabbi says, Bach adds, he takes out.
They also, by a chassan, also a person, he has to say, are we having to listen to in Hebrew?
There's no chass, yes. I don't think you have to say in Hebrew, but that's what we do. I've never heard a person say it in any other language. There's no halakha that has to be said in Hebrew, because the Torah never says he has to say the words Haram Akadashasli. The Torah just says she has to know that he's marrying her. Here, the Torah says the words that have to be said. It's a totally different thing. Rabbi Amar, Absuki Mosehiv, Absuki Mosel Eslamba. Rabbi is not concerned. He says, everybody understands that when you read Loi Chafatzi L'Kachta, even if you take a break, all it is a break. And you don't mean to have Loi, period, Chafatzi L'Kachta. And there's no worry about it. Ravashi Ashkechelor of Kahana. The Kmitzari Makrila Loyavayabmi. Ravashi found Rav Kahana, who was having difficulty getting her to say the three words together. That's how I understood it. How does Art School say, what was his tsar? To get her to say the three words together? That's how I understood it. You could say it was tsar for him to say the three words together, but I don't think so. I think it's that he couldn't get her to pronounce the three words together. Amalei sort of Rashi said, "Leshavu lemar lohad the Rava." Rava said, "It's not a concern." A Malay made the Rava b'leyavayabmi. Rava agrees by that one, because she says, Main Yavami Lahakib Shem Lahakib Yisrael, Loy Avayabmi. Now, if she says, Main Yavami Lahakib Shem Yisrael, Loy, it could be he refuses to continue his brother's name, not, which means he does want to continue his brother's name. Like, some people say that in English too. I'm going not. He put not at the end of the sentence, which means I'm not going. Right? He refuses to continue his brother's name. Not. He wants to be Miyabmi. So, Loi could be used with the previous one. If it's the beginning of a sentence, Rava says, people think, understand, that you're just taking a break and reading the words. But if it's a continuation in the middle of a sentence, and you take the break, people don't know where to put the Loi, the beginning or the end. Therefore, those three words have to be set together, even according to Rava. Therefore, Rav Khan is saying, I got to get the lady to say the three words in one breath. And she's having trouble with it, so we're going to do it again and again until she gets it right. Zok Rashi, May the Rava, B'shat B'yav Yavmi, the B'inish Lo Yavsik, the Imavsik, Mashma, the High Loy, Areshikoy, going back in the beginning. The Amra, Main Yavami, Lohakim, Lohakim, Shem, B'Yisrael, Loy. He refuses to continue a name for his brother, not. But when he reads, I don't want to marry her. Loi is the first word. Loi can't be going on anything before. Therefore, Rav is not concerned if a break is taken. I guess. At the beginning, that was Abaya Svara, exactly what you're saying. Rava says that people don't see it that way. They see it as a continuation with a break. But that's only when there was nothing said before. When there's something said before, they don't know which part Loi belonged to. That's what Rava is saying. He's disagreeing with the concept that people take it as two sentences. They take it as one sentence. But when there's two sentences being said, they don't know which one Loi belongs to. That's what the Gemara is saying. Meaning, Rava doesn't agree with your Svara that people will make the mistake of thinking Loi chavasti lekachta. Rava says everybody understands it's just breaking up a sentence. Rava disagrees. Why he disagrees, I don't know. But he doesn't seem to be concerned about that. But by Loi Ava Yabmi, it's a middle. And therefore, we don't know where to put it. Where is it a break from? The top, beginning, or the end? That's what Rava says. So to my bite. Amar Abaya. Hi man the custom get to the chalitza lichtavachi. When you write the star that releases her, right? Releases her, meaning Bezin writes a star that she did chalitza and they give it to her so she can show it to the next rabbi who's gonna marry her off to prove that she had chalitza, right? Same thing happens when a woman gets divorced. She has to bring a get or a letter from the rabbi who gave the get that she's free to get married. If not, how can you marry her off? Maybe she's an anxious ish, right? So she has to have this get chalitza. Now, we're getting involved in a technical problem of halacha that we have never had, I don't think, in our nearly 20 years. And that is, one is not allowed to write four words of Torah without a line under it, without a shutut. What word am I looking for?
Scoring.
Without scoring, right. And therefore, if you write Loi chavatzi lekachta, it's fine, but me'ein yavami lehovakim lachim shem b'yisrael le'avayabmi, that's a lot more than four words. And he would have to score the page. And they didn't usually score a page when they wrote this get chalitza. So how do they get around this problem? They have to make these lines. Why didn't they do that? I know one man the other said he did it, but I guess it wasn't commonly done. I don't know why. I can't answer why they didn't do it, but I just like to do two lines. Can I just do two lines? Can I just do two lines? Hi man, the custom get to the chalitza licht of hachi. Akwinu l'didab. We made her read min me'ein yavami, from me'ein yavami, at avayadmi. So therefore, there's only two words at a time. We don't write out the whole thing she said. We said she said from the beginning of that sentence till the end of that sentence. And we only quote two words at the beginning and two words at the end. So you don't have 3 to 4 words together. It's a machlokes whether you have to score by 3 or by 4. Vakrinu lididei min loy at lekachta. Again, we don't want 3 words together. So we say he read from loy to lekachta. We skip the word chavatzti. Vakrinu lididei min kocha at chalutano. And that's to avoid scoring the page. So this way, they don't have to score the page. They can just write and not write more than 2 words at a time, and therefore not have to score. I don't know what's so difficult in scoring a page. I don't know. But this way, they don't have to bother. Yes, Avram.
Can you do the thing that the Chalitza document stays with Beis Din, and she'll have that, just a Beis Din's note that she had got Chalitza?
Well, this is the Beis Din note. There is no Chalitza document. This is the note.
But this note is duplicated.
This is not like a get, where there's a get. And then today, the minute is that Beis Din holds on to the get and gives her a note.
Right, but is Beis Din going to make a duplicate of this?
And in those days, they had no Xerox machines, or copying machines. Once upon a time, were called Xerox machines.
No
copiers. And therefore, doesn't say that they did.
Why
should they?
Why wouldn't they keep it like a guest?
Yeah, that's what...
No.
He's very good. He's same like me.
That's where I got it from.
Really, I'm very happy for you.
Okay. The answer is very simple. Get is a document that accomplishes something. That's how she gets freed. And therefore, we were very careful that get not ever be used.
Yeah, I understand.
So therefore, we keep a hold of the get.
She wants to get remarried.
So she gets a letter from Beis Din saying that she is a Mevareshes. By the way, that's not in the Gemara. In the Gemara's day, she held on to the get. Today, this is just I don't know when it started, that the rabbi who did the get holds the get and gives her a letter saying that she was divorced.
So she has to hold on.
To that letter. And if she loses it, she calls the rabbi for another copy.
If they're available 20 years later.
Well, listen, it's not any different to other documents that people have to make sure they don't lose, right?
Yes.
The humans lose things, so you call the rabbi that you think. And by the way, if the rabbi's not available, somebody takes over his gittin, theoretically, and can check it out.
That's for gittin.
Well, Chalitza, we don't have to keep a document. There's no document that accomplishes anything. It's only for her sake. You're right. Today, I would advise the lady to make a few copies of it. Yes.
And this has to be done by a sofer or based on a writer?
Anybody can write this. They used to have cipher writing because it was legible and it could be read. No halacha of lishma here. This document accomplishes nothing.
It's a certificate.
It's a certificate, exactly. Get is a document that accomplishes divorce. It has to be lishma, all these halachas. Here is just a question of writing down it happened. You can write down, I sat in Shira Monday morning. That's all it is. All it is to inform people of something that happened. She can use that as a proof that it happened. It's signed by Beis Din or by witnesses. Now, the Gemara here is not interested in what's written. The Gemara is just trying to avoid scoring the page. Why that's an issue, I don't know, because the next Monday Amr says, Mazutra Mesharted the Kutz of the Kula Parshasa. Mazutra went, and he wrote everything. He wrote it out, and he scored the page, and he had no issue.
So
I don't know why one is different. I just think it's different ways of doing it.
What they write down is the correct procedure.
Correct.
Sake of
that the next person should know was done.
In other words, if they were to just sign the paper saying that we certified this with the it would not be enough.
Probably would be enough, but it's much better to write that it was done correctly than go through all the steps. Just makes it sound better. I would think that if a reputable person signed that we did chalitza works. By the way, as Harvey pointed out, we're using 3 common people, so you know. How much their certificate is going to be worth in the long run, I'm not sure either, but Rashi. Zok to Rashi. My mind that you from this I get in the sirtut. It's not the word sirtut or sirtut. Yes, sirtut. It's not scored. My boy in the mikvah kula pasi. The kaimelan ain't kaisen dalat tevis v'loy sirtut. The started get chalitza the custom of kula parsha starkin the lizadom and you from the grave can kula. The kaimelan shalosh tevis shall make her kaisen v'loy sirtut. We passing like the man David says three can. Dalat ain't kaisen a pair come to get. Interesting that Rashi explains it that way, but the Gemara here says they didn't write like Chafatzki Lekachka, which is only three words. There is a Mandi Amar that says you can't even write three words. If anything, this Gemara sounds like that Mandi Amar. The Gemara said they wrote Loi Til Lekachka. Why couldn't they write Lechafatzki? It's only three words. But Rashi is saying, we Paskin, you can't write four words. Three words we have no problem with.
How do we do, what's the Heter today?
There's a whole bunch of Heterim today. The biggest heter is that we don't write in Lush in Ashuris. We write in different ksav.
Right, so they did Lush and Ashuris because that was common, right?
That's how they did every year. They used to write all their documents in Ashuris, correct? They wrote it in Sefer Torah letters. That's what I think the common heter is today. Nothing about it. Well, they didn't leave Kasev. There's another problem, which we never dealt with. And that is as follows. There's a machloikas, whether we're allowed to write a parsha by itself, or whenever you write down something from the Torah, you need the whole Torah. You can't just write one section of the Torah. It's a machloikas in Masechtas Gittin. It has to do with how Torah was taught. Was Torah written? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote parsha by itself, till the Torah was finished and combined? Or did Moshe write the whole Torah at the end until then it wasn't written? If you learn that Moshe wrote parsha by itself, it's mutter to write each parsha separately. If you learn Moshe wrote the Torah together, you're not allowed to write a parsha separately. So how can you write that these psukim were said, you're writing part of the Torah, except Masutra, the one who wrote out all the psukim, is writing part of the Torah, and you're not allowed to write part of the Torah by itself. There's a separate issue of writing part of the Torah by itself, again, in Ashuris. We're not finished. Let me just finish, and then we'll finish. And for the Gemara, Behilchos Kavasa de Marzutra. And the halacha is like Marzutra because we don't write it for holiness. It's only to write a parsha by itself, it's only usher when it's being written to be holy. To do some kedusha, right? We're writing it for a kid to learn. It should be considered a chumash, a thing to learn. Mashenkin here, we're just writing it as a story, and therefore we mean no kedusha, and therefore it's not banned. Now we paskin that you could write things by itself. We do it all the time. We write chumashim. We write only part of things, and that's not we paskin. This is mutter.
How would you hold that to write a safer about ratios? How would you ever do that?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. We pass because you can, so it's hard to know.
It's just hard to imagine in a written age. The age when you
kind of
by writing
any form of writing. I have no answer. It's only if you write a certain amount. I don't know if you. I mean, the Gemara quotes Sukkim all the time.
Right.
I don't think the Gemara quotes a whole parsha in one. I don't know. I don't have the answer. Rashi. But it didn't really cost him parship if they asked him. Sex is getting the pair because he's talking kind of increase him to give him the tinnik this moment, but we can't write just a scroll for a tinnik to learn. Again, in today's day, it's not negaya. We don't write in Ashurist letters. The Elkasa commands to the Kaisen. They don't mean the Kaisen to give him the tinnik this moment, but the Elkasa Madai to the Parshasuk Simla. You're writing it to Tabi Kimagilik Tam. It should be a scroll with Kedusha. The Kimla and Tairach assuming it. Now we know the Tairach was given together. Of high spirits of Armo, just telling a story. The place of mitzvah. I did not look up the halacha, so I don't know what the halacha is. Dr. Gemara Vayter. Amar Abaya. Rakika v'kaltaseh haruach le'asim le'klum. The spit has to go in front of him. And if the spit doesn't go in front of him, the wind blows it away. She spits, and the wind blew it away before it got in front of him, then it's not considered spitting. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, spitting is not ma'akev. According to Rabbi Elazar, it is ma'akev, but it's not considered spitting. My taima, the yarkim of vina. Hilkach. Who aruch v'hi gutza, if he is tall and she is short, katasa ruach ikka b'fanav. As soon as she spits, she's standing in front of him, the saliva is in front of him, right? Even though he's tall, she doesn't have to spit in front of his face, she doesn't have to spit upwards, she spits in front of him. In front of him means in front of his body. And therefore, since she's short and he's tall, as soon as she spits, it's in front of him. So she was yaitza. Doesn't have to land in front of him, it has to be in front of him. The wind blows it away afterwards, it doesn't bother us, but he just said it. He arucha v'hugat. But if he's tall and he's short, bina adamati laudiape, she spits. It has to get in front of him. She's 6 feet and he's 4 feet, right? It needs to drop 2 feet before it blows away because it has to get in front of him. Being on top and blowing away never gets in front of him. Yes?
But it doesn't have to be like.
So
he has to be. Cool.
So far, I haven't heard your question.
I mean,
has to be in front of him.
But not on the floor.
The saliva has to go in front of him.
It's not considered.
It doesn't matter. No, she sits on the floor.
No,
that's what happens.
No,
yes,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All it means is that in his Dalet Amos.
Who said Dalet Amos? In front of him.
Right, so it doesn't care if landing or not.
At this point, it doesn't care if landing, right? The Gemara does not care about landing. I don't know how Lachal Amaitza, but the Gemara does not care about landing as long as the saliva passes in front of him. But if she's taller than him, and she spits and the wind blows it away, it never went in front of him. That's what the Gemara is saying.
The strike zone is his toast to his
head. Exactly. That's the strike zone. Bear Rabbi Wine always says, there's a baseball way of saying everything. But she is throwing a spinner. Okay, my turn. And then it can go away. Amarava, Achlu Tuma, Vyarkas, okay, now. The spin has to be natural saliva. And therefore, any food that causes saliva, we don't consider natural saliva. Today, the woman doesn't eat anything that day until she does it, because we want to make sure it's natural saliva, not caused by a food. And therefore, the Gemara only lists certain foods that cause saliva. Achlutum, I think, is garlic. Baraksa, achlut gargishta. Gargishta is dirt.
Clay.
Clay, and she spits, laksa. It doesn't count. My time of yard can be atzlabinon. It has to be natural saliva the leka. Rashi.
But you can induce it.
Again, today we tell the woman not to eat anything before she comes to chalitza. We want to make sure it's natural saliva.
More advise people who have a coin in their mouth, give her something to keep, to make saliva.
I have no idea. There's no such Gemara.
Well, I heard it somewhere.
Rashi v'katase ruach l'arik to spit. V'avirish bar shleim b'olos ne'yav didn't go in front of yam. Ika b'fanav, kibush yasim b'piyah b'fanav. If she's shorter than him, as soon as it left her mouth, it's in front of him. L'adi apay l'negid panav, shireu l'mu panav kaitim shikutu ruach. He should see it in front of his face before it's blown away. Tuma shumim, garlic, yagishta, Arzila b'mavi hadama, clay of the dirt, metagiminan b'gagishta the ara. Amarava. Tzvigi dayani l'megza ruka kinafik mipuma the yavama. They have to see the reich, but it leaves the mouth of yavama. The ksiv, la'eni haskeinim v'yarka. Now, because the truth is, it says like this. The chol tzanala me'al ragloi. V'niksha yavamtai eila v'ena haskeinim. The chol tzanala me'al ragloi. V'yarka b'fanav. Now, if you read the pasuk, you would say, she comes in front of the skenim and takes his shoe. That means the le'ene askenim is going on the chalitza. But it doesn't make sense. If she's doing it in front of the skenim, obviously it's going to be in front of them. They're going to see it. Why did the Torah have to say le'ene askenim? V'nikshi yivem to lefanof le'ene askenim. Just say, v'nikshi yivem to lefanof lefnei askenim and take his shoe off. If it's lefnei askenim, they're watching. But they can't be blind. We learned that out. So, must be that the Eine is going on the spit. That the spit should be visible to the Dayana. That's how we darshan.
And not the
obviously the Chalitza has to be visible, but that doesn't have to be said. If she's going to them, obviously they're going to watch the Chalitza. No, but they're not necessarily going to see the saliva ream. They're telling, saying they have
to see.
It's more clarity in the scene. Exactly. The Nikrish might be Israel based Chalutzano, Mitzvah Dayan, and Tamid and Tanya Amr Rabbi Yehuda. Pamachas, you should look there. Tarfin, Ubasu, Yavam, Lachlitz, and he said, Anu Kukam, all you answer, Chalutzano, Chalutzano, Chalutzano. Hadlach Mitzvah Chalitza, Hadlach Mitzvah Chalitza, Hadlach Mitzvah Chalitza.
What is the Kachi Yasa going on? So shall be done. What should be done?
Well, Rashi, the Rebbe Lazar learns, any action has to be done. It's Ma'akev. And Rebbe Kiva learns, any action that has to be done to him, which is removing the shoe, has to be done. That was the original. We had that on the way back.
It sounds like a dishonorable thing, right?
Chalitza? Yes. Chalitza is viewed in the Torah as a dishonorable thing.
But you can understand, but taking off the shoe was so dishonorable.
No, it's not dishonorable to take off the shoe. The process of chalitza is dishonorable.
Yeah, but she's doing this right after she spits.
She takes off the shoe before she spits.
But she's saying the unza right after she spits, no?
She says, Kacha Yasalish.
So it sounds like it's going on the spittle.
It's going on the whole process. By the way, it's brought down in the Rishayim and they talk about what the source is. She takes the shoe after she takes it off. And she throws it away.
Not at him.
Not at him, no. Just throws it away. It's supposed to be part of the process of, like, demeaning him for doing chalitza. So he takes the shoe and just throws it away. The Rambam brings it, the question is, what is the source? In the Zayir, it says that someone will bring a Rambam, a riot, and the Rambam had the Zayir because he quotes it. Others want to say there's other sources, but the Rambam brings the thing that she throws the chalitza.
Advised him.
Yeah, see, the whole thing today without giving him an option.
Seems so internally contradictory. It just seems to be perfectly.
So I can go on YouTube and push Chalitza and watch a Chalitza ceremony? Okay, I guess I'll do that. I don't see myself bringing in a screen here and showing doing Chalitza ceremony.
I don't have that kind of stuff in my house.
They just have karate.
Talk to your IT man.
I don't want to see that stuff.
So what happens when the question over the Israel goes now? The base then has to say,
Bezin tells the people, say Chalotano. And they all say Chalotano, Chalotano, Chalotano. That's first man Yami says that not the people, just the Dayanim say Halutano, Halutano, Halutano. There's Machlaikas. Reb Tarfon is like the man Yami that says, but Tamidim, we had that in the Mishnah too, the other man Yami.
And did they base Halutano or just Halutano?
Say Machlaikas Rishayim. Gemara says to say Halutano, some say to say base Halutano. I don't remember how it was done. Dr. Mishnah Weiter. We are now moving to a halacha of, it's interesting, we're going to leave Chalitza, talk about Miyun, and then come back to Chalitza and Yibum. Miyun is the process of a girl who got married rabbinically to get out of the marriage. Now, there's a number of ways that a woman can get married rabbinically. Talking about a woman, a girl that does not have a father, usually, and the Chazal did not want the girl to be Hefker. Again, girls that were not married, unfortunately, were prey to all different kinds of things. So Chazal saw in the interest of safety of the girl that it's better for girls to be married. So when her father was alive, he could biblically accept Kedushin for her. But when her father is dead, so they instituted that it could either be done by a mother or brother, and in the Gemara in Kedushin it says, it can also be done by the girl once she reaches a certain age, an age that she understands what's going on. She can marry herself off, and that also counts as a rabbinic marriage. But since it's a rabbinic marriage, the same Rabbanan who instituted this rabbinic marriage instituted it out, that she doesn't have to be divorced by her husband. By the way, that can't happen. But she can walk out of the marriage and say, I'm not interested anymore. Have a wonderful day. Now, we don't know, we have not learned the parameters of that. So far, we've mentioned this concept a number of times, but we never discussed the details of the halacha. In this Mishnah and in the subsequent Gemara, till Daf Kuf Tes, meaning for the next almost two blocks, we're going to be talking about the concept of how Miyun works and things like that. Dr. the Mishnah.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, this is not available. Miyun is not available.
Ah, so this is a big shiloh. I did not get into it. And that is, the father has a chance to marry off his daughter, and that's biblical, and Miyun is not available. But there's halacha that if a father marries off his daughter and then she got divorced, the father cannot marry her off a second time. The minute she got married, not Erisim, but Nisuin, the father lost all rights. He never gets those back. So therefore, a girl who got married, biblically, by her father, and then her husband divorced her after consummating the marriage, she doesn't go back to her father. So, again, she's in a position where nobody can marry her off biblically.
No age dependency.
So now the question is, can the father act like a mother and a brother and marry her off rabbinically? That's a shiloh.
So assume makes it so that she's no longer, she now belongs to her husband, the first husband, and that's the issue. She's left her father's house.
Never to return biblically. But then he divorced her. So now she's a single girl, and we like single girls to get married. So we instituted rabbinic marriage. We let a mother do it, and a brother do it, and herself do it. How about her father? Can her father now do it rabbinically? Seems to be a discussion. I didn't delve into it, but you asked me the question, so that would be the case. He could do it rabbinically.
Right.
12. Really, biblically, 12 and Shtei Saris. Rabbinically, once she hits 12, we don't allow me in.
What's
with
the
early age?
Or
and 12 is 12 and Shtei Saris.
That's just, she's 12 and a half and Shtei Saros.
So biblically, she's not a G'dayla.
She can
continue to commit Miyun. But, no, since Miyun is a Drabbanan, at 12 it stops.
What?
I mean, the Gemara, it's a Machlaik, all these are Machlaikas in the Gemara. What?
Where
does it start? It starts the moment her mother or brother married her off.
That's like, what's the minimum age?
That she can get married?
Yeah.
Rabbinically? The Gemara is going to discuss. Dr. Gemara, Bishamay, I'm a Mamanam Allah Rusas. Now, Bishamay has very big limitations on the concept of Miyun. They're not very happy, again. They don't like a broad approach to Miyun. They think a girl married should not be able to walk out of a marriage. And therefore, they say, the concept of Miyun was only instituted by an Arusa. They never consummated the marriage. Her mother accepted Kedusha for her. So she can say, I don't want to marry this guy and walk out. But once she's in a sua, there's no Miyun. He would have to divorce her like any other wife, that a woman can never walk out of a marriage, of a biblical marriage. She can't walk out of a rabbinic marriage as well. Well, Beisul, I mean, my roost is in a sua. And Beisul, it's not true. The concept of Miyun was made even for a sua.
She can be
mine
before the
Rusa,
right?
What?
She can be
mine. There's nothing to be mine for.
She has the right to refuse.
Again, the mother can do it without her will, and then she can refuse a second later.
So she has to go through the Erisin process.
She doesn't have to do anything. Her mother is accepting the Kedusha for her.
So she's stuck in the...
She's not stuck. She just says goodbye.
Yes, but in other words, from the Erisin happening, I understand the mother can
can accept it. But can she say to her mother ahead of time, don't be ma'aris me?
She can say it all she wants. If the mother does it, she'll say it afterwards and walk out.
No, she can't.
I don't think she can stop her mother from doing the Kedusha threat. Then you went.